It's Friday, November 14th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you tonight. Yes, it's a little late getting started, but better late than ever. Hey, strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. Yes, I got started a little late tonight. There was a bunch of people on Ustream waiting for me, but it's relatively early here as the hour goes. But I want to welcome you all to the show. Of course, all of our longtime listeners are Ohana that are subscribed to the podcast via the RSS feed. Hey, I want to welcome you to the podcast, of course, and thank you for staying subscribed. For those of you checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link. Sign up for a podcast as well. Get subscribed via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. You want to get to sign up for our newsletter as well, so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. That will contain all of the articles I'm going to talk about tonight and any other little tidbits that I throw in there. This evening, I got to share with you guys, you know, I'm getting ready to do the 24-hour podcast a week from Saturday, and still got a lot of work to do, a lot of work to do, a lot of spots to fill, a lot of people to get scheduled in. I've been sending emails out to people that I want to have on the show, and I've been getting emails from podcasters saying, hey, I want to be on the podcast or the 24-hour podcast. But one thing I did was that our graphics guy over at Raw Voice, Brian, I say, hey, Brian, can you come up with a new logo for the 24-hour podcast website? And he said, sure. So this evening, he sent me the rendition of this, and oh, my goodness, absolutely awesome. So what he sent me was something that when I reveal it, I think everyone will know what kind of a sign I'm going to have here in the office. I'm actually going to send a little message here to people, to someone, because someone's saying they can't hear the sound in the show, so I wonder what's up with that. But besides that, we're getting ready to do the 24-hour podcast, and I'll be coming on live 11 a.m. on November 22nd, Eastern Standard Time, going for a full 24 hours. So I'm looking forward to, you know, to putting that show on for everyone. And I hope that all of you will come and hang with me for the entire time. We'll be giving away some cool prizes for those of you that that hang the entire 24 hours. Last year, there was just a couple of you, a couple of hardcore fans, and I appreciate those that did. Give you a little bit of an update on the podcast awards. On December 6th, we're going to have the podcast awards ceremony. I made the announcement over on the podcast awards website. So I hope that you get over to podcastawards.com and check out the details there. Send out the email blast to all of the potential winners in Best Produce and People's Choice and told them what I needed from them in preparation for the upcoming event. And also sent emails to the other 18 or actually 20 winners that we've already announced and let them know. So we're getting all their data in here, I hope, over by, well, I told them the deadline is December 1st, so we'll see if everyone gets it in by then. I was talking with the trophy vendor today, and he says, oh, yeah, we just shipped out the CMA trophies. Actually, they had shipped those out yesterday because the CMA awards were last night, and he promises me that the trophies will be here on time, and I got to get them in, get them photographed, and get everything set up for the show. But it's going to be a great award ceremony. I'm really looking forward to putting it on and bringing on all of the winning shows. It'll be a great event. It really will. A little more administrative stuff here. Where Andy McCaskey and I had a nice conference call the other day talking about our planning for the Consumer Electronics Show 2009, and looks like we're going to have a great event. So it looks like some people on Ustream are saying that they have no sound which is not good. So let me check on this. Let me actually turn on my audio and see what I hear. Do I hear sound? Audio. Oh, I hear sound. Sounds. I got good sound. You guys hear that audio? It was that delay. So I heard it. So you guys refresh your screens if you're not getting audio on Ustream. But him and I are, we're going to have more people. It looks like we're going to have a group as many as five that are going to be going out with us. And I'm actually going to try to arrange a conference call with the team. And I actually got to get that email out tonight and do that this weekend so that we can all kind of talk about what the plan is and, you know, kind of the conditions of us going and everything else. Starting to get lots of invites in from a variety of different vendors wanting to meet with us. So we'll see how that all goes over time. Okay, I just got a bunch of interesting feedback. I wonder where that's coming from. I don't know where that's coming from. The over the weekend, or actually yesterday in the evening, UPS delivered to me a Flip Minnow HD, and I was able to get a hold of that and actually do a review on that unit. I just recorded myself here in the office, and if you get over to geeknewscentral.com, definitely take a look at that. It'd be definitely worth your time to see what this new unit is capable of recording. The video that I put up on the website really didn't give it justice. What went onto my hard drive was absolutely beautiful. And for those of you that are on Ustream, I'm going to hold the camera up. This is the Flip Minnow HD, and retails for $229. It's capable of doing 720p, and the onboard software uploading it into YouTube was not that impressive, but the actual video that I encoded locally was really, really nice. Let me make a small change back here. I'm hearing some noise that I need to deal with. I'm not sure where that's coming from. Everyone's getting some background noise. Okay, let me go ahead and take care of a little business here before we get into the regular content tonight. And, of course, if you are a longtime listener of the show, you know that GoDaddy.com has been a longtime sponsor here. If you're looking for domain names, virtual dedicated accounts, dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, GoDaddy.com has what you need. And, really, when you get to that checkout counter, don't forget my promo codes, T-O-D-D, that'll save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. And a special that you can't get anywhere else, the Todd20 code, will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. Of course, we've had Annie and I are also talking about the upcoming Tech Podcast Roundtable, and we're actually going to do that live during my 24-hour podcast. So that should be a lot of fun, a lot of things to juggle here to make that happen because of what I have to employ recording-wise. So that'll be good. But of course, those events are sponsored. Your attendees can join a meeting in seconds without technical headaches. You can deliver instant sales demonstrations and customer training sessions right from your own computer. Share presentations or programs with anyone, anywhere, and avoid the high cost of travel. You and your attendees can also use GoToMeeting integrated phone and voice IP conference service to make sure everyone in your meeting is on the same page. GoToMeeting is easy to use so that you will have your first meetings running in seconds. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. With unlimited online meetings, just visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. GoToMeeting, online meetings made easy. Thanks for GoToMeeting being for a continued sponsor here and, of course, at our Tech Podcast Roundtable. Hey, I'm looking for one thing, and this is a call out to those of you in the audience. I've invested heavily this year in video equipment and in being able to do these live streams really with the TriCaster and everything that we've been able to do here with that. And what I'm looking for in order to go on this mobile run to CES 2009 is I need a new light unit for my camera. I've got a Sony HVR-Z1U, and I really have fallen in love with the LED light panel lights, but they're too expensive. I cannot see spending the kind of money that they want for just a light for the camera, considering that the lights will be like 1/6 of the cost of the entire camera. So I just don't get that. But they are light. That's why they're called light panels. And it really is the perfect solution, but I just can't justify the expense. So if any of you are, you know, pro videographers and you have suggestions on lights, we're going to be portable. We're moving a lot around, going to have a lot of moving parts. Weight is a concern after we've humped the camera and everything for, gosh, each day, 12 hours a day. So if you have any suggestions, I'd love to hear a suggestion on a light unit to buy for the camera. I would like it to have self-contained. I don't have to have battery packs on the side, but I may end up having to do that. I don't know. It's just one of those things that over time, we'll have to see how, if you got any suggestions beyond the light panels, I'd appreciate it. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Okay, give you guys on Ustream a little different look right there. We'll flip it up to the... Actually, it was supposed to flip. It didn't. Let's do that. There we go. You guys get the overhead shot. You guys can see the bald spot on top of my head. And that's the wall cam up there. And I got a lot of content for... A lot of tech content tonight. Actually, not tech. This was kind of a weird night for news because lots of stuff going on in the space realm. I mean, just amazing amounts. So there's going to be a mix tonight of science stuff and tech. Some real interesting things to talk about as well. One thing I'm going to turn you guys on to that Doug Kay did, he turned me on. He basically revamped one of the websites that they're running right now this weekend to kind of look like the website soundflavor.com. And it's spelled exactly as it sounds, soundflavor.com. It doesn't have one of those Web 2.0 funky spellings. But I was looking through this, and this is a pretty cool website. And really, if you are, if you have a hard time putting together playlists and that kind of stuff, check this site out. It's a great site, and it's obviously got all types of music. None of it that I see so far is pod safe. So. But anyway, great place to find music. So check out soundflavor.com. And just, there's lots of these music different sites, but it's one of those that I hadn't seen before. And that was an eye-opener for me. The site's pretty cool. It's really nicely designed. But let's go ahead and move on here. Hey, on discoverymagazine.com, and it's actually one of the blog posts at blogs.discovermagazine.com in their bad astronomy section. And then this has made the news all over a bunch of different websites today. They're talking about a huge exoplanet that has been detected. And everyone is just saying it's completely incredible. And I have to admit that it's a pretty amazing find and what astronomers have been able to do here. For the first time ever, astronomers have captured an optical image of a planet orbiting a star like our own. And it's quite a ways out. But what's amazing is they show this picture. And you look at it, you're like, okay, where is it? And then they encompass a little area in the picture, and they show you where the actual planet is. And it's only 250 trillion kilometers from Earth, okay? So it's not like you're going to go over there anytime soon and check it out. Now, this was a picture that Hubble got, but not to be undone. The folks here in Hawaii were able to get a different type of a composite type of picture that they're all stoked about as well. And I'll have that up there. So really, this is huge news in the astronomy front. This is a big first. And I'm sure now that they've kind of figured out how to do this, we're going to start seeing a lot more of these types of discoveries. But, they can tell a lot about planets by finding, once they have isolated one. And then they narrow in and look at it very closely. They can look at the light signature coming from it and tell a lot about it. They can tell if it's carbon, has carbon, all the materials that would need to build life. They can really get from the spectral analysis of the planet. So we'll see what they've come up with this. But I guess if you're an astronomy nut, tell me, is this how big is this deal? I mean, because every website is raving. I mean, they're going stark crazy. And so, I don't know. I guess it's huge. And but anyway, I have the link up in the show notes, of course. And if you want to get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox, make sure you sign up for the newsletter on the website. Hey, also, comments tonight can be sent to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. All right, I'm for those of you that are on Ustream, I'm kind of watching the chat as much as I can, but I'm going to flip back and forth on that. Those of you that listen to the those of you that are subscribed to the show and get it via podcast download, how's the me doing the live events? I asked this before. How's me doing the live events affected you guys listening to the show a day or two later on your portable media devices or on your computer? Has it affected the way you listen to the show? I'd love to hear your feedback on that. See how we're continually to be integrated here. All right, over on astronomy picture of the day, you know, I love these pictures that the rovers send back from Mars, and we're going to talk a little bit about the rovers near the end of the show because we've had a little bit of a scare out there, but there's a great picture by Spirit that is really, they're sitting on top of an area that they call Everest, and it's a panorama from Mars. It's an amazing picture, and as I'm looking at Mars, I think this is really an awesome picture, but what I really was amazed about was looking at the rover and looking at the solar rays and everything. Well, I'm going to tell you, the rovers are definitely a little worse for wear. You know, I remember when the solar panels were bright and shiny. You can even see where stuff looks like it's a little bent. You can tell that the old rovers have been beat up pretty good over the time that they've been on Mars. You know, and you think about the time that they've been there. It's just remarkable. Of course, we talked about on the last show that the lander up north, it's done. It's a stick a fork in it. It's not calling home anymore. But we will see in 2009 if a miracle happens and it wakes up out of its deep freeze and calls home to mama. The NASA folks are going to be listening for it around the time that it's due to be unfrozen over a year from now. So we'll see. We will see if it makes it. But it's highly, highly unlikely. But, you know, NASA has been making some pretty good machines out there. All right, next up in the news, those of you that use torrent websites a lot, Torrent Valley, a large BitTorrent site with millions of visitors, has been shut down by Bulgarian authorities. And, of course, that's where a lot of these servers operate, or they operate in foreign countries where there isn't a lot of essentially law enforcement actions against them. But they went down because the Bulgarian Music Association, which I'm sure was probably propped up by the Music Association here in the United States, got the servers hauled out. So one more BitTorrent site has bit the dust. But you know, when they take one down, 25 pop up, so you don't have to worry, okay? All right, Scientific American has a pretty cool article up, and you know, scientists are getting a lot smarter about what's going on in the universe and what's happened in the past. And they have a article up that says Big Bang or Big Bounce. And they've been working on the theory here of the Big Bang, and they've got a new theory on the universe birth, and they think that they might be onto something here just because of what they have found from recent science. But they say that that space is subdivided into, they call basically different spheres. In other words, we're not the only universe. They could be adjoining ones, and they maybe bounce up against one another from time to time. And instead of expanding like our universe is doing right now, the universe that we may be in may at some day completely contract, and when it does, it gets together and starts a process all over. So they're saying here that they think that, and you know, it kind of makes sense from a logical standpoint that, you know, did this Big Bang just get initiated by, you know, someone sparking a lighter somewhere? No, it didn't happen that way. Something had to, you know, considering the quantum, the quantum physics required to even comprehend what happened during the formation of the universe, it's pretty amazing. But they say it probably didn't happen with a bang, but with a bounce. So I'll share this with you all. You guys can go through and read it. You know, there's been a lot of news, of course, about the pending change in leadership in Washington, D.C., and lots of stuff being talked about on the technical front. A lot of the techies are really excited about what could be coming. There's a lot of telcos that aren't real excited about what may be coming. But one of the things I thought was interesting that I'm just going to share with you is a Chicago Tribune article about presidential perks. So if you've ever thought about running for president, you'll definitely want to check out the nine different things that come as presidential perks. I thought that you'd get a kick out of that. And believe me, they definitely will not be having any issues with having good food on the table. And by the way, the Navy is heavily involved, or actually Navy cooks, I believe at one time, and maybe not now officially, but Navy cooks were in the White House exclusively for a long time. I don't think they are anymore, but anyway, we'll go on from that and move into some more tech. Hey, over on Mac Life, and I haven't been following the site too much, but today they got a pretty good article for those of you that are Mac users. And of course, you know, Macs never crash, right? Macs never have a problem. They're always completely operational. You don't have to worry. You press your button and they boot, right? Well, not always. And the folks over at Mac Life have how to survive the 17 worst Mac disasters. So at least Mac Life is willing to admit there's at least 17 different ways that your Mac could be in trouble. Disaster number one, keyboard meets beverage. Well, you guys know what happened when my mixer met beverage a couple of weeks ago, right? Well, it still hasn't recovered, even though I've taken the back off it and dried it out. The new mixer is here to stay, and the old one is, it'll be a bookend. So an expensive beverage spill. So keep your beverages away from your keyboards. That's the easiest thing. Disaster number two, stuck in startup mode. Well, I think Windows users have that problem from time to time. Disaster three, it won't power on, or worse yet, it just goes dark in the middle of a boot. Disaster number four, it's just too slow. That's just a few of the 17 how to survive, and they give you basically the instructions on what to do when each of these particular items happen, and even going as far as giving you special tech numbers to call for special companies that specialize in helping people recover Macs that have basically went array. So one of the, oh, Geekazine, you say you can make a Mac stop. How do you do it? Do you smash it? I'm watching the chat here. So, okay. No, Todd, not for CTO, okay? And Audio Collective, you guys are up early. You know, that's like you guys are on the East Coast. What are you guys all doing up so early? Amazing. Amazing. All right, Cassini. Again, I told you guys a lot of cool science stuff today. Cassini has found a mysterious new aurora on Saturn. And when you see this picture, man, I added this picture to my desktop already. It's going to blow you away. Now, it's been graphically enhanced to kind of match the color spectrum that they think that that this is actually looks like. But wait till you see it. It's pretty wild. It really, really is. Oh, someone said in the Ustream chat, folks, they say, how to make a Mac stop? Put Windows on it. Oh, that's pretty funny. Yes, of course. And it's amazing how many Mac users are running Windows. I am. I'm running, not always, but sometimes. All right, you those of you that are Firefox users, if you're still running version 2.0, hey, first of all, upgrade. But if you are still staying there and you haven't decided to upgrade to version 3, there are security updates available now for download. Most of you will that get the auto updates for Firefox will be notified that there's an update when you close your browser, and after a certain amount of time, it basically calls home to mama. But they got some good security updates here. You know, kind of be preemptive and go after it yourself. But some security updates by Firefox now available online. I have the link to that up in the show notes. Got some kind of cool stuff I'm going to share with you folks. Some things I found tonight as well. Just some cool pictures will be added to the show notes. All right, another article over on discovery.com, and this is a good one for all of you that have kids. Matter of fact, tomorrow night, we're going to have a launch. I believe it's STS-126 is headed to the International Space Station for, I guess, what they're calling home improvement mission. They're bringing up, another toilet, some more sleeping arrangements. I don't know. They're bringing up a bunch of stuff, and it's all a home improvement trip for the shuttle. But over on discovery.com, they've got area that's basically broke up into assembly, control room, mission games, talking about the Mercury program, Gemini, Apollo. I may have shared this once before with the audience, but it kind of popped to the top of my queue again tonight. This is a great one. And it actually brought my son in here, and he sat down, he started playing with it, going through the different areas, and he was pretty amazed because, you know, being as old as I am, I remember Apollo missions, but he has no idea whatsoever about, the liftoff is going off at 7:55 a.m.? Oh, I'm going to have to hurry. Yeah. Oh, on Friday. Yeah, that is, okay, cool. So, yes, I'm going to have to watch that. That's actually a few hours from now. So they're on their final queue here. So I'm getting queries by the audience on things going on with the commentary I'm talking about tonight. But anyway, share this with your kids. My son had a great time with it. A link will be up in the show notes. Now, how many of you have been in Gmail in the last couple of days and seen the new Gmail video service? Pretty cool. You can now, you know, basically if you've got people in your, and I don't, that's the thing. I get all my email downloaded into my email client, and I get it downloaded into Thunderbird, and I don't do a lot of time actually on Gmail, but I went ahead and I logged in and I looked at the link and checked it out. Pretty cool little video service. You guys can do, you know, if you have a friend in your shared area, you can actually queue up and actually talk with them via video. So pretty good little service. It's they're using some proprietary code, some sort of proprietary flash. I don't know exactly the story on that, but there's a good article on it over at TechCrunch IT. And yes, both parties need to be using Gmail. That is my understanding there, that you both have to be up on it in order. It would be cool, though, if they didn't. If you had someone you just sent an invite to and said, hey, I want to chat with you, click on this. That would be the smart thing. We'll have to play with that. So somebody let me know if they've used it and how well it's worked. Okay, you guys, how many of you go nuts on those day after Thanksgiving sales? How many of you get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and go stand in line someplace? Well, if Engadget is reporting that they have the Black Friday Best Buy flyer, and everyone is kind of demoaning it, saying, okay, there's not some real good deal here. And I don't know. You know, I don't know. I guess so. It says on here, stores open at 5 a.m. Friday doorbuster specials. Line up early. Get them before they're gone. But $399, 80 gig PlayStation 3. I don't know if that's such a good deal. $9.99 Kung Fu Panda. They've got a 50-inch 720p plasma HD TV for $8.99. Hey, be careful there. Don't go after that. That's only 720p. It's a 50-inch. Great price, but only 720p. So, not some... Really, I'm looking here. $189 GPS. That's just not a great buy for a front-page flyer for Best Buy. You know, you would think that the way the economy is... That, man, there should be some deals. And guess what? I'm just going to wait. I'm waiting. My wife and I have already said we're not buying nothing because we're going to wait till after. We're going to see how desperate they get to want it, because I really don't need anything that bad. So we're going to wait, and then we're going to see how bad it is afterwards. We're going to see how big the sales get. And I bet you a lot of people are going to wait, and they're going to shop late. Here in Hawaii, it seems like everybody buys their stuff in the last 3 days. How many of you are like a day before Christmas shopper? I am. So we'll see. Now, if you're looking for cheap laptops, this will be the season to get one, because the cheap laptops look like they're going to be the predominant thing out there. $399 is where the price point's going to be on that. I believe Dell just released one today, and they're coming into the United States in quantities. So we'll see here. Oh, and Norbert. Norbtech, yeah, Christmas Eve tradition, 10 years running. You're braver than I am, my man. I do it in the morning. I don't go out too late. Okay, how many of you have, and I know a couple of you have emailed me and said you've got a Roku. How many of you have been having issues with your Roku videos? In other words, they give you an opportunity to get to set your streaming level at 1.0, 2.0, 3.0, or 4.0, 4.0 being the best. How many of you are stuck on 1.0 streaming? Are you seeing any of that? Check your Roku settings and see if if you have been forced into one dot streaming. Some people have. And even though that their internet connection supports four dot, they're only getting sent data on one dot. So I don't know what the story with that is, but I guess the one dot videos are not very good. But I just wonder if they're financially in trouble. Kind of scary, yeah, that they would, I don't know. Netflix, it seems like they're pretty solvent at this point. I can't imagine them doing that. But we'll see what happens. And as Norbtech says in the Ustream chat, he says, I can't wait for the HD. I think you're right. I'm going to go there too. All right, Sony announces new CMOS sensors, 10-plus megapixel camera phones coming soon. You know, what's the thing that just irritates me the most about my iPhone? The camera on it is horrible. Horrible. In Japan, everyone's phones take pictures just as good as your cameras do. They're not cheesy pictures. They're good. They're nice. Yet the cameras in most cell phones today are crappy. Well, Sony is going to kick the tires here a little bit. And they're going to be releasing a 12-megapixel camera phone. I guess this is, we'll see what happens there. But they could be on something. And I hope the rest of the camera makers follow suit. I really do. It's just about time we get the quality up in those pictures. Because my wife shoots pictures with her camera all the time, or with her camera phone all the time. And, you know, honey, can you put these on download these for me? And you look at them on the computer screen and you just want to throw up. They're that horrible. They really are. Okay, moving on here. Anybody notice that their spam may have been down? I noticed my spam was down. Matter of fact, how many of you got that weird spam over the last weekend? I must have got 200 of these. And Gmail's been pretty good. But this weekend, I was getting these emails. It was, they were pretty rude, and they contained one paragraph of information. They had a little pixel that tried to load a picture. You know, how many of you were getting those? Those are just driving me nuts. And finally, Gmail got their definitions updated, and they're not in there anymore. But an office tower in downtown San Jose, California, has long served to a company called Mocolo. It's a hosting company whose servers have very quietly been a conduit for 75% of the spam being sent out daily worldwide. Now, what was interesting about this is that a couple of private companies did some investigation and determined what was going on with the company, and was able to show enough information to their peering companies, in other words, the companies that provide their internet connection to the world, and that were able to basically get their pipe disconnected. And when they did that, the spam going globally decreased by 75%. Now, what's going to probably end up happening here is all those spammers were going to be moving to new homes, and it won't take them too long to recover. It's too profitable for them not to. Do you hear about the lady that fell for the Nigerian scam? And she cleared out her husband's 401k. She emptied his savings. She put a second mortgage on the house and sent $400,000 overseas. What planet is she on? Has she been, like, had her head buried in a sandbox for the last, like, 8 years? How is this even possible today that someone would still fall for that? What a payday. You know what? I think I need to send her an email. I got a bridge to sell. Oh, my goodness. $400,000. And she didn't tell her husband. Imagine his surprise. Oh, she wanted to really surprise him by, you know, hey, honey, we made a great deal. We got $25 million in the bank. I only had to send $400,000 to get it. You're like, what have you been drinking? Oh, I just cannot believe it. But anyway, the surgical strike has eliminated 75% of the spam emails worldwide. We'll see what happens here. I'm sure it's going to recover. It always does. But, you know, if two private individuals could, you know, if two private individuals could figure this out, where is law enforcement? Where's the FBI? Where's the Secret Service? If two companies can figure this out, you know what? They don't want to fix it. The internet service providers, the different companies throughout the world, they don't want to fix it. It's just amazing. You know, cut them off. Kill them. And of course, these were all machines that were controlling botnets, basically thousands and hundreds of thousands of machines that were sending email out. So if you notice your machine's running a little faster, maybe it's because it's not calling home to the botnet, and maybe it's not sending a million email messages from your account every day. Oh, geez. Hey, over on Read Write Web. There's a good article that Marshall Kilpatrick put up. It's called 30 Days Later, 22 Apps We're Still Using After 1 Month of Use. And the one that I really like, that I have to agree with them, is it's right off the top of his list. It's called the GCal plugin. It's an experimental Firefox extension that it puts a little calendar on the bottom of your browser, and you can click it, and your Google Calendar will appear in a pop-up box. You can add stuff to it. It's really handy. And matter of fact, it's what I'm using right now to start organizing the 24-hour podcast, because I need to have access to the calendar all the time. Start rearranging stuff and scheduling people. And yes, if you've requested to be on the event, you will be getting an email. It'll happen early next week as I start firming things up a little bit more. Spread the word. We're still looking for people. If you have or you know of someone that you think should be on the event, we're going to be talking tech, we're going to be talking science, we're going to be talking podcasting, we're going to be talking about social media. It's going to be a great, great event. Get the word out, okay? And help me fill the full 24 hours. You know, I kind of did this on short notice because I was looking at my schedule. I was like, I got to get this done because I'm going to be out of time. So I hope that you guys will help me out with this. Filling this with great people. And, if you have an idea, you know, contact them for me. Feel free. Hey, do you want to be? Todd's having a 24-hour podcast. It's going to be a great event. Think you should be on it. Here's his email. Contact him. You know, please do that. Feel free to do so. So anyway, there's 22 apps. You can check that out via the show notes tonight. All right, the article of the night is probably, you know, I am really, really shocked that this is a great article. It's one by Scoble, has come out. You know, Scoble has been kind of on this political thing lately, and he's finally back focusing on tech and technology and the world and the economy. And he has written an article that is entitled Disruptive Factories. And this kind of ties into the CES event. I've told you guys about being at CES and then going into the Asian section. And really, when you're there, I tell the cameraman, we walk, we don't stop unless we really see something we want to talk about, because we get mobbed. And, you know, I never let go of the microphone because these guys will take them, it'll take you through a tour of a booth that has nothing but batteries. Okay? Maybe this year we'll cover some of that. But what's happening with these companies is they're getting smart. And here's the whole thing about this article. It used to be that when you were in business and you wanted to get stuff for your store, let's say you wanted to get 500 laptop power supplies, replacement power supplies, you went to a vendor and you talked to him, and then he talked to a shipper, and basically there was about two or three people that they had to go through before you got your stuff. Well, now you can go online to these different factories in China, and they have basically a web store. It says, all right, how many of these power converters do you want? What kind of package do you want them in? Do you want 500? Do you want 1,000? And we'll ship them overnight FedEx. Cutting out the middleman completely. I really do love disruptive businesses where you completely cut out the middleman. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's for people that are in business. You can really save a lot of money. Because guess what? You're paying wholesale. All those other people that had their hands in your pie before no longer do. You can offer the product cheaper and still have a bigger gross margin on the profit. It's a beautiful thing. Anytime you can go straight to the source for anything, you always got to do that. You know, that's really the goal. But he's got this great article. It talks about this guy down in guy from Ireland down in China who has completely revolutionized and made a big change to how Chinese factories are You know, not only are they just doing the manufacturing, they're doing the retailing or the wholesaling of their own stuff. And they're doing it online and cutting out all these middle retailers. It's big. It's really big. And I think what's really going to be a game changer is when these factories start offering things in each quality. In other words, each quantity, and each is a quantity of one. It's where I can go on the website and I can order direct. You kill Circuit City, you get rid of Best Buy, all the companies that you know, you don't have to go through Newegg, no one. You get the stuff from the source as a consumer. That, my friends, is an absolute, unequivocal, complete game changer. And it will happen. It is happening. So this is an amazing article and really made my eyeballs kind of pop wide open. And you're right, someone in the Ustream, an audio collective said in the Ustream chat, Circuit City doesn't need any help. You're right. Maybe they should start ordering direct. But just think about the power of that. Now, again, if American companies can build stuff and they can compete, I'll buy American any day of the week. I am very proud to support American companies, but what American companies are making any of this kind of stuff? They're not, because guess what? They can't compete because of the wage issue and the labor stuff. You know, why do you think, and I don't want to go off on a rant here too much, but why do you think they're going to bail out the car industry? They're going to bail out the car industry. Not, you know, do you think GM is going to go out of business if they declare bankruptcy? No way. They're just going to restructure. GM's not going anywhere. They're going to be making cars for the next 100 years. Okay? Even if they declare bankruptcy today, they're going to. But the unions are so ingrained, so hot and heavy into the political process that what's going to happen is they will get a bailout, so that will guarantee that the wages that these factory will continue to stay at the levels they are. You know, they say that $4,000 that you, if you buy a new car, $4,000 of that goes to pay basically all the extra benefits and bennies that go back. And I'm not begrudging people a good salary. But folks, we got to get competitive again. You know, really, what would be good is I think a Chapter 11 would be good for them. Now, I know those of you that work in the automotive industry, you're probably unsubscribing now. But we got to stay competitive. You don't hear Toyota having a problem, do you? No, because they're not locked into all these, you know, these grandfathered, long-term negotiated stuff. So I've gotten off tech here. I'm shut up before I get myself more in trouble. Okay. TechCrunch has got a good article about the death of packaged software. Microsoft Store opens on the web for U.S. shoppers. This is beautiful. The days of buying packaged software loaded onto CDs are numbered. When you can buy Office Professional Full Edition online and download it, why would you ever go to a store and buy anything? Especially if they are competitive. You know, you're going to go there when they offer a bundle deal or something. But again, going straight to the consumer, very, very smart on their part. Hey, do you want to have your own Twitter? You can build a site called Twinger, Twinger. It's in private alpha. And, of course, there's some other applications out there as well that presently we have Twinger. Twinger, I guess, is the way to say it. You can create your own version of it. And we'll see what happens with this. And I like Twitter. You can send out a 140-character message, follow what other people in your Twinger group are saying, and send direct message to them as well. Great for companies. I think this is a cool little way to maybe have private conversations within a company and keep everyone in the loop. I think it'd be a great thing for us to run at Raw Voice, where we're a small team, and we just, you know, we Twinger each other all day. So it's a good one. It really, really is. Okay, told you I was going to talk a little bit about the Mars rovers. Well, a dust storm has dropped the power levels on the NASA twin Mars rovers to dangerously low levels. And they were really, really worried that Spirit was actually going to go into a fail-safe mode. And they cut a bunch of heaters. They did a whole bunch of stuff to prevent the batteries from going completely dead, which would have been a really a once the batteries go completely dead, you know, it's kind of like your CMOS going dead. There's a lot of stuff that they have to do to get the rover back up and running. But luckily, the Mars rover was instructed to stay silent for a while, recharge its batteries, and then to call home at a certain time, and it did. So NASA is completely elated that they've kind of skirted this. They're not completely out of the woods yet, but at least the rover did not go into a fail-safe mode, which is really, really good. It really is. Okay, as we said, STS. Actually, hey, there was someone on here earlier that said that the launch was going to go down at 7:55 a.m. I'm showing the countdown for STS-126. This is directly from spacetoday.net. Is scheduled for a 7:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Friday launch, when they're figuring there's a 40% chance of clouds and rain that could delay the launch, but they feel pretty confident about being able to get off. So 7:55 p.m. Okay, so we're got plenty of time. I'm not going to miss the launch. All right, Washington Post has a great article. I kind of alluded to it earlier in the show, where the telecom industry is really kind of they're holding their collective breaths, because with the president-elect being wired, and he is a Mac user. For those of you that are Mac users, he is a diehard BlackBerry user as well, and he's definitely well connected. He uses the online technologies that we all use. So what this is going to mean is that the telecoms got a little bit to be worried about, because there could be some new legislation coming. And what the Sprint Nextel chief executive Dan Heasey said is that telecoms should be really scared. And I don't know about you guys, but that just brings a big fat smile to my face, that the telecoms are scared. We will see. Open internet, net neutrality the way it should be. You know, there could be some good things that come out of this. So we'll see what happens. And the telecoms, of course, are going to be dumping big money into trying to prevent, any type of legislation change. But they may not have any choice. Okay. How many of you have gotten an email in the past from classmates.com? And usually they send it to you when they have some data that they have mined, when they have determined that you are approaching your 20th or 25th or 30th year high school anniversary. Well, I've gotten those emails before, because I had a 25-year class reunion last year, this year. And people basically was saying, hey, Todd, your classmate's looking for you. Sign up for classmates.com. And I never did, but a lot of people do. And one guy that did said no one was really looking for him. So he's suing classmates.com for basically false advertising. And there's a lot of people that are jumping on the bandwagon saying, yeah, me too. And there's a lot of people that are upset about this company's advertising tactics. And, you know, it's one thing if someone was really trying to reach you, if one of your classmates, you know, someone that you knew, you know, that's one thing. But when he goes on there and there's really no classmate that's trying to reach him, and you paid $15 for a quarter to do that, and they hit your credit card every 3 months, you know, that's any of you got classmates.com and you've signed up, make sure you've canceled your account. It wasn't $15 a year, it's $15 a quarter. Here's my advice. If you've had problems, reach out to the Better Business Bureau and complain about them. Or, you know, there's probably going to be I'm sure a bunch of people are going to get on a bandwagon here and have some sort of class action suit. We'll see. All it takes is one guy to get completely upset. I'm just going to tell you, you know, that's a great way to basically put yourself out of business, is just, you know, upset your user base. That's all it takes. All right, folks, I'm done with the regular content tonight. Got through it relatively quick. Getting a lot of science stuff, not a lot of tech tonight. But I do have some show comments to go through and a voicemail as well. So let me go ahead and load the voicemail up. Those of you that are on the Ustream stream, you're going to be able to hear this as well. I haven't previewed this. This is 1:07. So let me go ahead and throw this in again. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. And the voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Here comes the voicemail. I thought it was. It helps if you turn the mute off on the mixer. Let's try that again. Okay. All right, here we go.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling.
Hey, Tom.
I got a quick question or a quick thing about the email you're having an issue with. I'm wondering whether or not it is an issue with the receiving server. Obviously, it might be. We had the same issue with AT&T, not so much on a broadcast type of email program deal thing, but AT&T for some reason was rejecting anybody who had an AT&T account or email address. We could would not get our emails through our corporate company. So finally, after like a year and a half, I had to go in and, you know, go through AT&T, talk to an AT&T rep, and go through a website where I had to enter our DNS information, and it took about a week to get that cleared. But now everything's okay. So I think part of the problem was is that somebody was using our email address, or somebody was using it as a spam account, and somehow it had recognized it as some kind of spam thing. So not very technical, but that might be the issue. So I don't know how to fix it either, but I hope that helps. Bye-bye.
Hey, you know, been down that road, and we've done all the things that we are required to do to make sure we're not on a spam list. And, you know, I think it's just one of those deals where I think some mail servers have got us flagged and are not letting us send email through. And it's sporadic. And I know we have a very hard time getting through to folks on hotmail.com. Most of that email does not make it. Most of it bounces. I've checked all the spam lists. We're not on any spam list. The IPs are not flagged. But I think there's just, you know, what I'm in what it may be. And this is what I'm trying to fix is that I use for geeknewscentral.com, I use Gmail or Google Apps to actually do all the email. Basically, it goes, when I send an email, it goes through Google Apps. When I receive one, it goes through Google Apps. And all my mail servers are set up at basically through Google Apps, and they take care of all that. But when I send out an email via my server sends that out, and the reply address is geek@geeknewscentral.com. What may be happening is that some mail receivers are saying, hey, this email is coming from this IP, which is a server, but we think that it should be coming from the Google Apps account. Well, Google won't allow me to send the level of a number of emails that I can. So what I'm going to do is I have some secondary domains, and we may set up a secondary domain, a geeknewscentral.org or .net domain, and tie it directly to the server so that the MX records and everything is tied directly to that box, and maybe that will clear the issue. I've thought about going to Google Groups and moving to that that service completely, but the problem is I don't want to have I don't want that to be a news group list. I don't want people to be, because people unsubscribe. They don't want to, you know, they like getting the email in their inbox, but they don't want to have to deal with, you know, 100 people responding to that and saying, hey, Todd, I like this or like that. That if I can get the Google group set up so it'll only do one way, maybe I'll move to that. But, that's what we were on originally, and we had the same issues. So it's a big frustration point for me. It really is. I know that there's I get emails every show. Hey, I didn't get the newsletter. I've been three shows since I got a newsletter. Oh, it's working again. I really don't get it. And I know that all of you are checking your spam list, but I think it's being caught before it ever gets to your spam bucket. I think that's exactly what's happening. So we'll see. And yeah, maybe I'll use the .info or SMS costs money. You know, in order to do SMS, it would be really expensive to do SMS. All right, let me go ahead and get into the email that has come in. I want to thank Tim for his pledge for the 24-hour podcast. If you guys are looking to, you know, the goal here is to raise at least $3,000 for the for disabled veterans, and I'm going to really try to push to raise that amount. I thank Tim for his donation, and I guess if you guys want to pledge, just, you know, send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Put on the subject line, pledge 24-hour podcast. Tell me how much you're going to pledge, and then as we get closer to the event next week, I'll actually put up a PayPal link on the website and ask everyone to go in and go ahead and submit their pledge amounts. One thing I do want to thank is that when I was on vacation, the two hosts that hosted the podcast while I was gone, I was planning on giving them each a honorarium payment for hosting the show, and they very, very great. And I had actually forgotten to send them their honorarium, so when I got the email to us, oh man, I haven't sent their honorarium to them, so I need to do that. And they both had basically said, hey Todd, we were talking about it, and we want to contribute the money that you were going to give us to the honorarium towards the 24-hour podcast. And I really appreciate that. That was they didn't have to do that, but they have. So big kudos to those guys for offering that up. Of course, I'll be listing everyone. I won't be putting the amounts so that no one has to feel embarrassed. But, you know, if you give $5, $10, $25, $100, whatever, we're not gonna put the amounts up. But we'll basically put the people that have donated, and then we'll kind of keep a running total. And I'll do it in groups of 5 or 10 as those come in. So, but thanks so much, guys, for doing that. And for anyone else that want to donate, feel free to get those pledges in for the show that's going to happen a week from this Saturday, 22-23 November. I want to thank Jeffrey for his 24-hour podcast pledge as well. Actually, he already PayPal'd it to me, so thanks for that. I got an email from Frank. He says, hey, I went into let me close this because something popped up in front of the email. Says, I went in the local Circuit City once, but then I've lived here only 24 years. Didn't have what I was looking for. They are, however, keeping all three Delaware Circuit City stores open at least so far. I miss my defunct CompUSA, which apparently was much better than yours. I loathe Best Buy. Good selection, lousy service, high prices, lousy customer service policies, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I agree. But I tell you what, no, the CompUSA here was great. It was great. It really was. Cannot complain about the CompUSA that was here in Hawaii. That's why I used to spend so much money in there. Got an email from Scott. He says, hey, here's a couple of replies to show number 423. The streaming is free on Netflix. However, not all movies are available to watch online. Also, with Circuit City, never liked the company. The ones here in Spokane, Washington, we have two stores here, and their customers are rude. The customers are customer services. The customers are rude and they're hard. Oh, and yeah, it must have been customer service. Customer service are rude and hard to find help when you need anything. Best Buy is my choice, even though they pester you every time you turn a corner. Anything I can help you with, like 30 associates ask you, can I help you find anything? Anything I can do for you today, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at least they're there to help you. And every time I walked into a Circuit City, not once has anyone talked to me. That's true. I was in a Best Buy today. I had to because I had an UPS went bad here. Didn't have time to order a battery, so I went and just got a new UPS. And the guy was like, oh, right back, here we go, da-da-da-da-da, which one do you want? He carried it to the front to me, put it on the cash register, can I carry it out to your car? I'm like, yeah, you can carry it out to my car, sure, come on. Do you want a tip, too? Absolutely. I have no choice. That's what we have here. And but, you know, for stuff like that, you know, when you need it, you need it. And you know, of course, I got to ask, do you want to put the warranty on this extended warranty? That'll be $39. No, no. Those extended warranties, folks, usually are not a good deal. All right, got an email from Thomas, Tom Wiles, Trucker Tom. And this is really something that everyone should read. And it's from the Drudge Report. And big eyes in the sky. Essentially, Google is going to be providing data to the government on flu searches and give the locations of that data to the feds. How do you guys feel about that? You search for flu, and they send compile that data and send to the feds and said 35 people in Makakilo, up in Makakilo, Hawaii, have searched for flu. So I guess, you know, really, if you think about it, I'm sure they'll be able to track outbreaks. So interesting. How long is it going to be before they start sending data to insurance companies when you type in cheap cigarettes or cigars or emphysema or lung cancer? You know, when are they going to do that? Let's keep an eye on them. Thomas, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Got an email from Jim. He said, hey, Todd, now you can do video chat right in Gmail now. Same thing we talked about earlier. Thanks for that. Hey, Brian, thanks for your donation. I really appreciate it. He says, this is a charity I can get behind. My father was in the military and personally feel more interested in this charity than in the previous one. Good luck with the show. Best regards, Brian in Poland. Thanks, Brian. I do appreciate it so much. Got an email from Chris. He says, hey, Todd, there are a few other shows I listen to. Geeks On at geekson.com, sourcetrunk.com, Tech Talk for Families, and that's a Dale show. Maybe one of them would be interested in participating. Have a good one, Chris. Hey, Chris, why don't you reach out to him? Say, hey, want to be on Todd's show? I know Tech Talk for Families, but I don't know if I know the rest of the guys or not that do those shows. So if you want to be my emissary and go over there and reach out to him, I definitely appreciate it as well. And also, for the last email I got, Trucker Tom sent me another one. And Tom, you're like hot on this stuff, and you're good. But have you guys seen the robot that can pull faces just like a human being? It's a little weird. It is a little weird. That's all I can say. I'll have the link up in the show notes. But as always, folks, hey, 619-342-7365. That's the number for the voicemail hotline. You can call and leave your comments about the show. Of course, you can email me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And a new feature that I'm bringing to the show for the very first time. If you want to send me an AVI, a video comment in AVI format, best if it's in the digital video, AVI, if you send me a .AVI that's, you know, short, I can actually patch that in to the TriCaster, and those of you that are on Ustream can see audio video comments that come into the show. So if you want to send that to me, we'll patch it in audio just like we do everything else, but I can also patch in the video, which will be a lot of fun. So I'll take video comments. You can send me a link to the .AVI. Don't send me an attachment, please. But upload it someplace and send me a link to it, and then we'll play it in the show in the same place that we play the regular emails and the voicemails. So new feature here on the show. We'll give this a little bit of a play and see how it works in. All right, folks, y'all have a safe week. The 24-hour podcast, really, I really, really do need your help. Okay, because we're a week away, and this is just gonna explode on me, and I may be sitting here for 5 hours like talking to myself, and I'm sure you guys will have fun with me. I'll get the details up on how the dial-in is gonna work. Where this is a live event, you guys can really kind of call in, and you guys will be able to be on the line with me and have fun. We're probably gonna use TalkShoe again this year as the audio source. It just seemed to work out real well last year. I got to reach over to those guys and make sure that they have me account that I can go 24 hours straight on. But probably that's where we'll be for the audio portion. We'll do have chat and stuff up on Ustream as well. So it's going to be a multimedia event that you will not want to miss, that you will not want to, you'll want to come hang out, okay? And we'll have a lot of time where listeners can just chat. We'll have some, you know, a couple of hours set aside in the morning, in the afternoon, different times where people can come in and we can just kind of hang, talk story, and get to know one another real well. It's going to be fun. It really is. And you guys can watch me have a hard time staying awake after you've slept all night when you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, because it'll be 1 a.m. here for those of you on the East Coast. So those of you that are on Ustream tonight, hey, thanks for hanging with me. I appreciate it. Sorry for the little bit late start tonight. But until next Tuesday, y'all take care. Have a great weekend. Aloha.